Season's greetings, happy holidays, and welcome to the spread, Nesson.com's football picks podcast. I'm Nesson.com's Mike Cole, joined once again by my band of merry gentlemen, Ricky Doyle and Andre Cacciatorian, also of Nesson.com fame. Some of you know, affectionately referred to us as the three wise men. So here we are to make our weekly against the spread picks for the NFL. Gentlemen, how are we?
Doing pretty well, pretty well. I did break out the hat because you've kind of been showing us up with the Christmas tree over the past month or so. So I felt the need to up my game a little bit for this particular episode.
No warning. Everybody's going to think I'm the Grinch. You have the tree. You have a hat. Mike wearing a Hey Santa shirt.
Says Hey Santa with the minion. Says Hey Santa, stop judging me. You know, a little Christmas humor for you. Yeah, you look like a regular old.
I look like the Grinch, but I'm very much so a merry gentleman, as you said, and I do love the holidays, and I'm very excited for this week, and excited for an incredible slate of football.
This is so we're in week 16. I don't know if I mentioned that yet. We were having a little back and forth on teams, no free ads, but we're discussing. You know, last week we were not a huge fan of the slate coming in. At least Ricky and I weren't. I actually tweeted this over on Sunday. Like, I think this past Sunday might have been the best like football Sunday of the year. I know I said that somewhat recently. But, I mean, it's starting to get good. Like, it feels like football – I don't know what it is. I mean, I don't want to get into a huge discussion about, like, sports in the COVID era, but football looks and feels the most normal, especially now that we've hit our stride 16 weeks in or whatever.
So. And now we're getting – you know, you have fans in some stadiums. What was it? Dallas had, what, 30,000 people?
30,000, yeah. Like,
it's – yeah, I mean, throughout this whole thing, I don't think – like – I've never sat there on Sunday and watched a slate of games and thought it felt any different than previous years.
And which is weird because, I mean, basketball and hockey make sense because they were in the bubbles and, like, you knew it was just weird. Baseball, there's so much dead time that you're just going to get crowd shots too, or, like, shots of the stadium. And so it's always there reminding you. Football, I think it's pretty easy to be distracted. Like, I'm as a huge Packers fan, like, I've watched every Green Bay game this year and they're playing – or they have for most of the season without fans at Lambeau. And, like, yeah, when they show the aerial shots, it's weird. But, like, play to play, you can't really tell. You know, yeah. It just feels.
And we might be dealing with some conditions this week. So.
Sure. And but, yeah, go ahead, Andre.
Fair, the one thing that has happened that's been noticeable are the postponements. But that's actually been a great thing for fans because you got Tuesday night games, Wednesday night games. And I don't know.
Yeah, and, I mean, credit to the NFL. I think baseball deserves credit for this at a certain point too. Like, maybe a haphazard plan to begin with, but they more or less stuck to it and they, you know, tightened the hatch or bolted the hatches, whatever, you know, like it's been a pretty good few weeks, knock on wood. So, I mean, I know as a country and as in the world, things are getting worse by the day. So it's going to get even more difficult, but if everybody keeps up to their end of the bargain in the NFL, it feels like they're going to see this thing through. So that's encouraging. That's a Christmas miracle. So this week is sick. Like, this is I will say this week looked a lot better, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, you know, looking ahead. But there's still some big games, and we will do the three best games of the weekend. Then we'll do our locks and upsets. And then we will go continue our Christmas shopping and all that fun stuff. What was I going to say?
Your point, Mike, like, there are some games on the schedule this week that we're not going to touch on that, like, we were sitting here a few weeks ago, like, doing the look ahead, being like, that this has the potential to be, like, every game almost on the schedule with some sort of implication.
I thought we were going to have trouble narrowing it down to three. It turned out to be pretty easy, but the three are very good. You know, and and we got football Friday through Sunday, Monday. Oh, this is our Monday game.
Are we doing straight days?
Yeah. So, not bad for your Christmas weekend. So, anyway, before we get into it for Week 16, how we do last week, Andre?
We did pretty average. Ricky and Mike, both of you were 7-7-2. We had two pushes, and I won 6-8-2. We all eclipsed the 100 win mark, so that was good news. Ricky, you still leading the way with 106 wins, Mike. Two games behind Ricky, and I'm two games behind you, Mike. So we're all pretty close still. Anything can happen the last 2 weeks.
It's pretty average. Is there a better description for
We've been pretty average the last 2 or 3 weeks, and yeah, it's not bad, you know.
We've been average for the last 4 or 5 years.
That's true. Yeah, our existence is pretty average.
If anything, this is just an exercise in just mediocrity. This entire the spread, our picks, everything.
Means you could do worse.
We're just here to give you good information.
But Ricky, to your point, does that maybe mean we have no idea what we're talking about and it's just a coin flip every week? And we like over 5 years, it's going to even out to average?
I mean, that's for the listeners to decide.
That's right. Good point. All right, let's get into it. Week 16, and we're pretty spread out here with our three games. Sunday has the potential to be just a delightful day of watching football. And if you're lucky enough, you can start it at 1 o'clock with the Indianapolis Colts heading to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers, a game that all of a sudden has massive playoff implications in the AFC. You've got Indy coming in, playing some pretty good football, playing its best football of the season, in fact, against a Steelers team that is just plummeting. Steelers have lost three straight, including an embarrassing Monday night game against Cincinnati, a team that looked like I always thought it was kind of foolish, but there was talk about them going undefeated, at least in the regular season. That talk has long since dissipated. They look bad. They can't get out of their own way. They opened as 2-point favorites, I think, on the look-ahead line. As it stands right now here on Tuesday morning, the Colts laying 1.5 on the road at Heinz Field. Pittsburgh has been a home underdog with Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback just once since 2018. As you might imagine, that was against the Patriots. So this doesn't happen very often. Like I said, Colts laying 1.5, total at 44.5. Ricky, who do you like?
Yeah, that Steelers offense is in some serious trouble. We saw that on Monday night against Cincinnati. They can't run the ball. They can't throw the ball downfield. Dating back a few weeks, too many drop passes. Now the offensive line looks like it's showing some cracks. So it's just a situation where defenses are now kind of happy to give them those dinks and dunks that were working earlier in the year. You'd think the Colts this week would be no different. It's a team with the second fewest missed tackles in the NFL. They create pressure, 9th in pressure percentage, despite blitzing at the second lowest rate. So they should be able to get after it a little bit. It feels like a bad matchup for the Steelers. That said, that line swing is just, it's a little too much for me to stomach. Like, I don't know. And this, I think this is just me not maybe buying into the Colts as much as maybe some other people. And this is, which is kind of weird to say considering how high I was on them earlier in the year, but I don't know. I just look at the Colts in their last, you know, dating back to week 6, a stretch of 9 games in which they're 7-2 to their credit. They've played 2 games against defenses not ranked in the bottom 7 in terms of DVOA. So while their offense has looked significantly better of late, it is coming against some bad competition. I mean, that's the likes of the Bengals, the Lions, the Titans twice, the Texans, the Raiders. The 2 games that they played against teams not in the bottom 7 in terms of DVOA, week 9 against the Ravens, they lost that game 24-10. And week 11 against the Packers, they won that one in overtime. So I don't know. This feels to me like maybe we're a spot where one team's being overvalued, the other team's being undervalued. And we get a sort of Philip Rivers laying an egg game. I could totally see that happening in Pittsburgh. So I'm going to sort of swallow hard and take the Steelers with points at home.
I agree with you, Ricky. I'm going to take the Steelers as well. You look at the Colts, their last 3 games, they have a +7 turnover differential. They haven't had a turnover. That's wild. Philip Rivers going 3 games without a turnover, without an interception. That's going to be hard to continue, especially against the Steelers defense. The Steelers have a +8 turnover differential on the season. You know, their defense is still pretty strong. They know how to force turnovers, get pressure on the quarterback. And I think that's what happens kind of this week. I think you're definitely right about the Steelers not being on the roll. And because of that, they're kind of undervalued here. And on the opposite, on the flip side, the Colts, they won their last 3 games and they're being a little overvalued, I feel like. And also, I think Pittsburgh, their passing game has been pretty weak as of late, but I think they'll take advantage of the Colts. They've allowed the 9th most yards per pass attempt. And since week 8, Indianapolis actually has a negative yards per play differential. And that's coming against that inferior competition that you were talking about, Ricky. So I think, yeah, the Colts are a little bit overrated and they'll be a little exposed this week. I think the Philip Rivers makes a few mistakes here. Pittsburgh gives Ben Roethlisberger some good field position, and Big Ben, at the end of the day, he'll take advantage of it.
I love Indy this week. Love him. Hate how much I love him, because I think it's going to be a public side. I think everybody's going to be all over him. It's not an overreaction. It's what I've seen the last 5 or 6 weeks out of both teams. It's just Pittsburgh has been atrocious. Just atrocious offensively. And I think that's maybe, you know, that's what does them in more so than their defense trying to stop the Colts. I mean, over the three-game losing streak, they're last in EPA per play, last in explosive run rate, 26th in explosive pass rate, last in overall explosive play rate. Ben Roethlisberger in the three-game losing streak, completing less than 60% of his passes, 5 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, a 72 passer rating. He's last in EPA per play over that run. Only Nick Mullins has a worse completion percentage over expectation over that time. They've turned the ball over 9 times in the last 5 games. You know, Eric Ebron is hurt. He's got a back injury. He didn't return Monday night. They might get Kevin Dotson back on the offensive line. If not, that's an issue as well. It's just they look just so bad offensively. And I think, you know, there have been issues with Indy's defense, especially its pass defense recently, which is why I liked Houston last week to beat the Colts, which I almost did, by the way. I just don't think Pittsburgh has the weapons or just the offensive, you know, firepower, whatever you want to call it, the offensive, aptitude. They don't have the offensive aptitude to take advantage of that. And Ricky, I will say, I will give you credit. If this was like around the horn, you would get a little ding. The point about the opponents recently is a fair one. That is interesting. I will see you do that. But they've, you know, credit to the Colts over that time. They're averaging over at least last six, since the Baltimore loss, 6 weeks, they're averaging 32 points per game, 5th in EPA per play over that time. They're playing well. Also, another injury for Pittsburgh to keep in mind, DJ Watt, whatever it is.
One of the Watt brothers.
The Watt, yeah. He's got a concussion, so he didn't return. There's just a lot going against Pittsburgh. When I looked at this, I was like, you guys did a nice job. I just couldn't get myself to see the Pittsburgh side of this. So I hate how much I like Indy here.
I do think they have the weapons.
What's that?
I do think they have the weapons. They have the great receiving core, and it's not like they don't have weapons. They just haven't been clicking. And it's for whatever reason, I think this week they're just very undervalued, and you gotta take those points at home.
They are undervalued probably this week, at least.
I think my pick comes down to like institutional trust, if that makes any sense. Like I could just see like the Steelers sort of figuring it out over the course of this week and doing just enough to win. And the fact that I'm, getting the point or whatever, like I'd feel much differently if this line was what it was to open. But it's just, I don't know. Like the Colts to me, like we're a couple of plays away, if not for the Texans' total late game ineptitude, we could be sitting here saying that Indianapolis has lost 2 of their last 3 against a far inferior opponent. So yeah, I don't know. This is just a situation where it's, like I said, I do think it's sort of a bad matchup for the Steelers in addition to their internal struggles, but it's just kind of a, It's a little bit of a gut play, I guess.
Fair. All right. Late Sunday afternoon, big one in the NFC West. The Los Angeles Rams head on the road to Seattle to take on the Seahawks. 4:25 kick. The Rams 9-4, coming off of a potentially, season altering loss last week to the Jets. Bar none, the worst loss of the season for any team in the NFL. Taking on a Seattle team that may be the worst 10-5 team of all time, not to editorialize at the top, but it's just wild to look at that and just be like, oh yeah, 10-5. Big game in the NFC West here. Totals at 47.5. Seattle getting 1.5 at home, laying 1.5 at home. Andre, who do you have here?
I think we're both, all of us are very irresponsible people, because last week on the picks column, we totally ignored the trap game situation. It was Rams Jets following week against the Seahawks, and we had the Bengals Steelers following week again. The Steelers played the Colts. Very irresponsible oversight on all of us. We should all be ashamed of ourselves. With that said, a great situation for the Rams to bounce back against the Seahawks. They just match up so well against Seattle. Rams allowed the fewest yards per pass attempt. And, you know, it was a look-ahead game against the Jets. That's what it was. They're a much better team than the Jets. And Seattle, they allow the most passing yards in the NFL. So just the passing defenses in this one, the disparity in them, and how much Seattle relies on their passing game to win football games with Russell Wilson, and is points the favor to the Rams, because Rams have the tools to mitigate that Russell Wilson attack. And they're also second in sacks, the Rams are, and Seahawks have allowed the 6 most sacks. So you see a lot of pressure against Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson has 13 interceptions this year. That's the second most in the league. I saw that. It blew my mind. The only guy with more interceptions than Russell Wilson is Carson Wentz, and he stinks. So I'm not saying Russell Wilson stinks, but that offensive line perhaps is putting a lot of pressure on him, making a lot of mistakes, and also just the pressure that he has to carry the team on his back week after week as well. It's too much. He's a human being at the end of the day. Can't do it all by himself. And the Rams are just a more complete team, and that's evidenced by their number one in yards per play differential. So I'll take the Rams. I don't think it's even close.
Yeah, I mean, Russell Wilson's worst game of the year was against the Rams, you know, a few weeks back. I think it was week 10 or whatever. I don't know. Like, this is a tough one too. Like, it's similar to how I feel about that. I, you know, trust the Steelers to sort of figure it out for a big game. I kind of have that same feeling against the Seahawks, but I don't know. I'm still going to take the Rams here, because I do think that they match up well against Seattle. You mentioned, Andre, the ability to take away Russell Wilson and the passing attack. And the Rams first in explosive pass rate against, second in explosive run rate against. So they have that ability to take away the big play, which we've seen Seattle's offense lean on throughout the course of the season. You know, Rams, they don't blitz all that much, but they're capable of creating pressure. I mean, that's obviously the Aaron Donald effect there. And I do think the Rams will be able to have some success offensively. I mean, we've seen how bad Jared Goff can be when he's pressured, but I don't trust that Seattle's going to be able to do enough to disrupt him. I think that Seahawks defense, while it's made strides this year, is still susceptible to giving up yards after the catch. So I do think, like you said, Andre, this is a situation where the Rams can bounce back. It's tough to beat a divisional opponent twice in one year, but I trust that Sean McVay is going to have them ready to go. So I'll take the Rams.
Give me Seattle. I'll lay the points at home here. LA, not just last week, like, been some issues offensively recently. You know, the last 5 weeks, they're 26th in EPA per play, 17th in explosive play rate, and 24th in early down success rate. I was looking at it, poking around, and I think the Andrew Whitworth injury is more effective than we realize. It's taking a bigger toll on LA than we realize. I've been big on EPA per play this year, so I know I sound like a broken record, but weeks 1 through 10, they were 16th in EPA per play. That was with him playing. Then he got hurt. So last 5 weeks, weeks 11 through 15, 25th in EPA per play. So there's been a clear drop off offensively. They've had to use 12 personnel a lot more, which is, you know, bringing in the second tight end, I think in part because of the Whitworth injury. Before he went down, they were using it just 23% of the time. Since he's been hurt, 34% of the time. Only Philly and Tennessee has used it more in that run. And I was looking at it, I mean, for what it's worth, this is completely for what it's worth, but this is on Sharp Football Stats. I was messing around with his tools. And, you know, only 6 teams have a better defensive success rate versus that 12 personnel than Seattle. So it's, maybe a pretty good matchup in that regard. I don't know if that's has something like the Jamal Adams effect. I don't know. Somebody smarter than me will have to explain that. But it's another thing I like there. And, you know, Ricky, you kind of touched on it quickly, and this kind of flows with my last point. Seattle's defense has been very good recently, at least relative to what they were early in the season. I mean, this is a team, remember, they got, you know, just run all over, you know, gashed up and down the field early in the season. Over the last 5 weeks, first in explosive runs allowed rate, 10th in explosive pass plays allowed rate. They're keeping the game in front of them. They've been pretty good on early down success rates against the pass, third in the NFL. That's really good. You know, they're 4-1 in that stretch. I will say the opponents have been relatively weak. They played Arizona. I mean, that's a pretty good one. Philly with Carson Wentz, the Jets, the Giants, and Washington. So a lot of bottom of the NFL offense is there. But like I said, the Rams offense, I think it is better in our mind's eye than it has been, at least judging by the numbers this season. So I think Seattle could do some things defensively here. For, you know, ironically, it's can Seattle do enough offensively? And you know, you go back to that game earlier in the season that they lost. They only lost that game by a touchdown. They turned it over three times. You can protect the ball if you can protect the ball a little bit better here. I like the Seahawks' chances. This also just feels like that kind of spot where it's like, oh yeah, it's week 16, late in the season. Russell Wilson comes alive. I mean, if it doesn't happen here, it's not going to happen at all. And that's, you know, he has been pretty bad, relatively speaking. But I think this is a get right game. I trust Seattle a little bit more in this spot than I do Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's kind of scaring me off the Rams a little bit is just that it totally feels like one of those games where you got Russell Wilson doing the post game interview and you know, hey, his team's clicking late and all that. Yeah. Like the optics are there, you know, you could sort of visualize it.
And the other thing too is like we've talked about this all season when it comes to Seattle, they just play close games, but like a point and a half is not going to be enough to scare me off of them. Like that could still be a field goal at the end.
I think whoever comes out of the NFC West, it's all of them, all three of those teams, Cardinals, Seahawks, Rams, they're going to show severe weaknesses in the playoffs. They combined 11-1 against the NFC East this year. With the only loss. I just feel like their records are all inflated and they all have significant weaknesses that are I think the Rams are the most complete team, but even they've shown weaknesses too.
Well, I mean, yeah, the Rams just had, like I said, literally the worst loss of the season. And I know you don't want to overreact to 1 week, but
yeah, but look, I agree with a lot of what you said. They have weaknesses, especially after that Whitworth injury. And I just don't see any of those teams going that far in the Super Bowl. I think the Cardinals, they're a year away. The Seahawks, their defense is really weak. And the Rams, I don't know, they don't feel.
Like it is funny how, like you said, Mike, really, the question here is whether Seattle's going to be able to do enough offensively, which is a weird thing to say. But I mean, I do just like, if you want to talk about recent games too, like I kind of look at that game against Washington and I view the Rams as like basically Washington, but with a more competent offense and maybe in better a little bit defensively.
Yeah, so, that game, I watched a lot of that game. Seattle should have blown them out. I feel really good about my pick of Seattle last week, and it was just a clown show late. So I guess maybe that's a, you know, something to keep in mind. So, all right, moving on. Sunday Night Football. It's the Cole Brothers Bowl. The Tennessee Titans will head to Green Bay to take on the Packers. A game that is, I think this was flexed in the Sunday night. I don't think this was originally scheduled for Sunday night, but an enormous game for at least for Tennessee, a little less so for the Packers, but we'll get into that maybe. Tennessee comes in 10-4. The Packers come in 11-3. Packers now have the inside track to the one seed in the NFC. Total highest of the week set at 56. Two explosive offensive here. Could snow. We're looking at a chance of snow showers, low 30s, 11-mile-per-hour wind. It is Green Bay football in December here. Packers laying, what is it, 3.5 at the moment? 3.5 at home against the Titans. Ricky, who do you like here?
I think it's my favorite game of the week. So maybe I'll saddle up with the Cole brothers this weekend and socially distance in your living room and watch it. It also might be my favorite pick of the three games that we're talking about. I love the Packers in this game. And I just think that they're going to be able to control the line of scrimmage against that Tennessee defense. Packers, number one in pass block win rate, number one in run block win rate, going to ESPN analytics. We've seen how vulnerable that Titans defense can be, 26th in DVOA, including 28th against the pass and 16th against the run. No pass rush really this year. Second lowest pressure percentage in the NFL, 29th on Pro Football Focus. Obviously losing Jadeveon Clowney recently only hurts that, you know, those efforts even more. Look at the Titans defense, most yards per drive, fourth most yards allowed per drive. I think the red zone could be a problem for Tennessee once that defense gets worn down. Tennessee 30th in red zone defense, Green Bay first in red zone offense. And I just think the Packers are going to be able to build a lead early first and first half points per game and sort of take Tennessee out of their rhythm offensively. I mean, that's what it comes down to. If you can build the lead and sort of take Derrick Henry out of this, make him a non-factor, that Tennessee offense isn't going to be able to reach the potential it's reached in certain weeks. And I just think that, like I said, that Tennessee defense, it leaves a lot to be desired. And I think that Green Bay is just going to have its way at home in the snowy conditions. I love Green Bay in this game.
I don't disagree with you. I think Green Bay is going to have their way against the Titans defense. But like you said, it's going to be snowy conditions and that favors the ground game. And I think, I don't see any way Packers stop Derrick Henry. Nobody's been able to stop him. So why would the Packers just all of a sudden, who have a very mediocre run defense, come out and just stop Derrick Henry? I don't see it happening. Also, the Packers
lost 21 points in the first quarter. All of a sudden, you're trying to run your way back into it. Becomes difficult.
I mean, how is that going to happen? You're just assuming they're going to be up 21-0 in the blizzard?
Why can't it happen?
A blizzard? It might not even snow. I mean, it's a chance of flurries or snow showers.
And Aaron Rodgers doesn't do well in the cold. Remember that year they finished 15-1 and then they played the Giants in the first round of the playoffs and they lost? It was cold. Let me finish my points as well. The Packers, their last 8 wins have come against losing teams. Panthers, Lions, Eagles, Bears, Jaguars, 49ers, Texans. You can be happy about that, Mike, if you want. But that sure as hell is not impressive to me. Their losses came against good teams like the Bucks, the Colts. I like the Vikings. I think that's a good team that they lost to. It's a good, bad team. And now they're playing the Titans. They haven't played a good team in ages. And all of a sudden, they're going to go up against this Titans team that's a well-oiled machine offensively. And their turnover differential, one of the best in the league, if not the best. Yeah, they're number one in turnover differential. They're not going to make any mistakes. They're not going to turn over the ball. Ryan Tannehill, quietly, 31 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. I'm not saying he's Aaron Rodgers, but he's a poor man's Aaron Rodgers right now. So, yes, I think there's going to be a lot of points in this game. But you're giving me that many points, I think the Titans are gonna they'll keep it close, maybe even win.
I must correct the record because you just went off on a tangent here. And
how was that a tangent?
Whatever you cited, this is Aaron Rodgers. You said he's bad in cold games because of one game 10 years ago.
All right, go ahead.
At this time, almost a year ago, this is a tweet from Matt Schneidman of The Athletic, December 11th, 2019, so a year ago, Aaron Rodgers has a career passer rating of 110.7 in regular season home games in December and January. That's number one in NFL history.
Yeah, but I don't want to see December and January. I want to see his passer rating when it's cold. There could be road games in domes in Detroit and in Tampa Bay in December.
I don't like that stuff. I literally just said regular season home games.
Oh, okay. All right. You got me there. But I still think it's serious that the Packers, they haven't beat anyone big for 8 consecutive games.
I hate that I like the Packers here. I wanted to just be a coward and talk myself into Tennessee as like an emotional hedge. Couldn't do it. I do think, though, I will say this, like, as excited as I am for this game, I don't think it's going to be a close game. I think either the Packers, boat race them, or Tennessee just puts them in a death grip. Like, I think Titans winning this one, like 31-20 is on, I think that's possible too, but, I don't think that's going to happen. I think the Packers are going to win this one fairly comfortable. Ricky, I think you hit the nail on the head. Once again, the Packers offensive line is arguably the best in the NFL, and Tennessee just, they don't generate pressure. They're last in the league in pressure rate. So Aaron Rodgers with no pressure this year, an 84.1% adjusted completion percentage, a 127 passer rating, a 97.6 pro football focus grade. Only Roethlisberger has been kept clean on a higher percentage of dropbacks. Ricky, I think you ran through a lot of these stats, but the red zone, third down, like the Packers are, both teams are very good offensively. The Packers are clearly better defensively on each side of the ball, and really has more to do with like Tennessee last in third down defense and, third to last in red zone defense. Like those are just tough spots. If you can't get stops in those important spots, it's going to be tough to beat the Packers in Green Bay. No matter what time of year, no matter who's in the stands, no matter of any of that. the defense has just been terrible the last 5 weeks. They're just, you know, bottom of the league against everything, at least, or especially against the pass. The Packers defense is coming around a little bit. It's a very relative term, but like, I'm with you, Ricky. If they can build a 10-point lead, maybe they've got a chance to kind of win this thing going away. I will say the Packers really haven't blown out anybody recently, or at least it doesn't feel like it. I mean, you go back and look, they're up like, what, 21-3 in the blink of an eye on Saturday night, and they didn't cover. So that is an issue. But I think this is kind of, they have a little bit of like a little bit of the Chiefs to them this year, where it's, you know, I don't want to say that they haven't gotten up for smaller games, but I do think that maybe they get up for this one. There's a lot of people picking against them already. I mean, we're looking at this as 3.5. It opened at Packers 4.5. I was looking at Sports Insights. They had 73% of the tickets are on the Packers or on the Titans right now. So especially if this gets up to 3, I like it a lot more. But they might be able to talk themselves into some sort of disrespect thing here as well. So I just like the Packers. I don't know.
Yeah, I was just looking up with Aaron Rodgers in cold games. If it's under 21 degrees, under 20 degrees, he's had 6 games in his career in that situation. His pass rating is 90.8. But between 21 and 40 degrees, it's 105.8. So, yeah, when it gets really, really cold, his pass rating does fall. Fortunately for him.
Which quarterbacks have the 120 passer rating when it's 8 degrees out?
Nobody.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I don't know how I checked it. It's 25 degrees, but regardless, the cold weather does favor a ground game. You can't deny that.
Well, I was going to say, I think this might be an Aaron Jones game. I think he might go off in this game.
They've been good against the run on early downs, Tennessee has. So maybe it's like a backwards game plan for the Packers too, where they come out throwing and then eventually wear them down. And then, yeah, I agree with you, Ricky. I think, Jones is a big part of the game plan this week. LaFleur said last week, like, they got away from the running game. He didn't like that. So
just wearing them down is a good way of putting it. Like, I think that the Packers could just wear them down. And you mentioned a lot of like the situational stats favoring Green Bay. And I think that's sort of where this game is won.
Kind of how you win games in December and January, right? I mean, not to be a cliche guy.
From a bigger picture standpoint, the Packers being overlooked, it feels that way to me.
No, because they keep, you have to win one of these games. Like, you have to win that game Saturday night, like 35-10.
Yeah, they haven't beat anybody of significance.
That too, which isn't necessarily their fault. And like, even if you want to go back to that Tampa game, like, everybody's going to throw that Tampa game in your face. And I know you can't say this, but I'm going to say it anyways. Like, if Rodgers doesn't throw those two picks, that's a completely different game. And I know you can't say that, but one of those balls like went through Devontae Adams' arms. One of those was returned for a touchdown. The other one was brought down to like the 10-yard line. That completely changed that game. You know what I mean? So
Rodgers throws a pick. It's never his fault. Here you go again, defending Rodgers' interception.
What are the other times?
You always do this. You always defend Aaron Rodgers. Oh, bounced off Devontae Adams' left pinky, and then
you want to go watch the film.
I'm sure it wasn't his fault. You always do it. It's just funny.
The first one, he's like the best thrower of the football all the time. It's not going out on a limb here.
And Derrick Henry's the best runner of the football.
Okay, fine. It's a passing league. Anyway, Ricky, to your point,
though, YA Tittle.
I would just say it's like incomplete because, like, you're gonna lose games every once in a while. This is a big game for them. Like, it's if they win,
that NFC is like, I don't know. Do you trust New Orleans more than Green Bay? It's
no, I don't trust anybody in the NFC.
That's the thing. I might trust the quarterback in Green Bay more than I trust anybody else in the NFC.
Yeah, right. And maybe even the head coach too. Coach is good. Packers dump truck the Saints, by the way, early in the season. People forget that. All right. Andre, what's your lock?
I like this. Speaking of the Saints, I love the Saints over the Vikings. Where the Vikings do well when Dalvin Cook does well. And he's been great. He has 3 straight 100-plus rushing yard games. But I think that will come to an end against a great defense, rush defense like New Orleans. They allow just 3.8 yards per carry. I think also, Drew Brees, it's going to take him a while to get coming back from that injury. I think he's going to be a lot more comfortable. I love the Saints in this one. It's Christmas.
Would you consider Christmas at 4:30 a primetime game?
Yes. The world will be watching.
There you go. Kirk Cousins. Not his spot.
Yeah. Very true. Didn't even think of that, but yeah.
Saints laying 7 there. I don't think you mentioned that. So Saints 7-point favorites there.
Yeah.
Ricky, who'd you lock?
Remember when you said Dalvin Cook wasn't very good?
He wasn't the first couple of years. Sure, look at his first couple of years. He wasn't very good.
All right. Just wanted to, you know, if we're going to play the people don't forget game.
Hey, I change my opinions when things change in the world. I'm a very flexible guy.
My lock, I'm going to take the Ravens, 10.5-point favorites over the Giants. That ball, the Lamar Jackson poop game, it feels to me like it could be exactly what they need to sort of build up ahead of steam before the playoffs. Like Baltimore, for all their issues, they're not a team I want to run into in the playoffs. And they take care of business against bad teams, which is what their schedule consists of down the stretch here, starting last week with Jacksonville, continuing this week against the Giants. That Giants offense, I'm just not sure if they're going to be able to get anything going. So it's a lot of points, but like I said, I just think that this is sort of we're in the midst of a Baltimore momentum streak here where they're going to get right before the playoffs. I don't know how much damage they're going to do in the playoffs, but they're a team that I'd like to avoid at all costs.
Dalvin Cook, first two seasons of his career.
He was hurt a lot.
4.7 yards per carry.
He was hurt a lot.
The last two seasons, 4.8 yards per carry. So he has gotten better. Good point.
He has gotten better and hurt a lot.
That's not his fault. So he wasn't bad. He was hurt. Give me Chicago laying 8.5 against Jacksonville. I touched on this last week. The Bears offense has been legitimately good, a top 10 offense since Mitch Trubisky took over, came back, whatever you want to say. They're rolling. Jacksonville now has the top pick. They've been just truly terrible. They've lost their last two games by an average of 24 points. Bears still have something to play for. The Jaguars need to lose. 8.5 is a lot with the Bears, but I'll do it anyway and feel pretty good about it. So give me Chicago on the road at Jacksonville there. Ricky, who's your upset?
I'll take the Panthers. They're 2.5-point underdogs against Washington. You mentioned, Mike, that Washington should have been blown out by Seattle. And really it stemmed from that offense. I mean, Dwayne Haskins is just not a good quarterback. So not knowing what that quarterback situation is going to look like come Sunday, worries me a little bit. And the Panthers are just a team that I like as an underdog. I mean, they're a scrappy underdog. We saw that them fighting back against the Packers this past Saturday. Teddy Bridgewater, 19-2 against the spread in his career as a road underdog. So I think there's some value there. Washington, I mean, overall, bigger picture, I like Washington in the context of that NFC East. But even if it's Haskins, if it's Alex Smith, maybe some rust coming back. The quarterback situation just scares me a little bit there.
Which the Washington quarterback situation with Dwayne Haskins?
Yeah.
Partying with strippers. Shout out, Fred. I missed that this morning.
I did too, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's early. That's not good considering all the stuff going on with Washington this year, just in general. What a disaster. Although you are downplaying the Ron Rivera revenge bowl aspect of that. So something to keep in mind as well.
I think that's going to be
it cool. Works both ways.
Sure. Yeah, so,
another random Dalvin Cook stat since you just roasted me on that. Yeah. 2 years ago, the Vikings were barely utilized, and he had 12 carries per game. This year, he has 22 carries per game.
That's the Vikings' fault.
The Vikings' fault, not Dalvin Cook's. But his rushing totals were lower. He was averaging 55 yards per game 2 years ago.
Because he wasn't running the ball.
I know, but so the optics say he's not good. He's averaging 55 yards
per game. Stefanski was, running the show, so they fired Stefanski. Now he's, the coach of the year in Cleveland, and Mike Zimmer is going home.
Nice. My upset of the week is Las Vegas over Miami. I'm still not buying into Miami. They're 28th in yards per play differential. I don't know how the hell they have that many wins when they're just 28th in yards per play differential. It's not sustainable. They lead the league in takeaways. That's how they're getting so many wins. I don't think they – I think they kind of hit a wall this week. I think Vegas, they're collapsing. They've lost 4 of their last 5 with their only win coming against the Jets. I think people are kind of selling on Vegas. And I think everyone's buying into Miami because their recent success. So I think Vegas is a good value pick here. And they're underdogs at home. I'll take them.
We're going to have everything full circle. When I mentioned at the beginning that there were a lot of games on the schedule that looked a lot better and that we had our eyes on several weeks ago. That was one I was excited about.
Yeah,
I was excited about the potential.
Yeah, it would have been good. I mean, big one for playoffs. Though. I mean, those teams basically, it would have been a, if they had both won out to that point, it'd be like a playoff game, right? I think whoever lost.
And it's just like it's a random enough matchup to be a little different than what we're accustomed to seeing. So
sure.
The contrast in color schemes.
The aesthetics are big. It's important.
Yeah, huge. Huge.
Speaking of aesthetics that are not very interesting and overplayed, I've got Dallas as my upset this week against Philly. Dallas getting a point and a half at home. That defense is coming alive, I guess, relatively speaking. They were historically bad earlier in the year. They've been middle of the pack, which is a marked improvement considering how bad they were earlier in the season. They've been feasting on turnovers, which is not necessarily dependable, but I look at Jalen Hurts. He's fumbled the ball four times in his two starts. He's only lost one of them. He keeps putting the ball on the carpet. It's going to come back to bite him. So I like that to happen once or twice here. Dallas takes advantage. I don't know. I mean, what? I just needed to pick an upset.
Hurts runs all over the Cowboys and Dallas.
I think I'm already starting to feel that I'm going to be the last person in on Jalen Hurts. I just don't. I don't know.
I'm not saying I'm in on him. I just think he's going to run all over the Cowboys.
Maybe. That's like the one thing that they have to prepare for, the Cowboys do. So if they don't do that, I mean, I am giving a Mike McCarthy coach team way too much credit then, but that's my own problem. Anything else, guys?
No. Yeah, just
I would just want to recommend the Shaggy's new Christmas album. It's been very fantastic. Christmas in the Islands. One of the songs called Ragamuffin Christmas. Fantastic tune. Anyone who likes reggae.
It makes you want to book a vacation. It really does.
We all need one.
True. Speaking of vacation. The spread's going to look a little differently in 2021, but I think we'll get to that next week as we look, as we send 2020 and it's down the river, a blaze, a funeral at sea, a flaming funeral at sea for the entire year. Maybe we'll list our grievances and everything as we get into week 17. The NFL season is coming to an end. As this godforsaken year. But before then, enjoy your holidays, whatever it is you celebrate, and win bets, I guess. I don't know. Enjoy the football. I tell you, as if we needed more excuses to stay home and watch football this, 2020 Christmas season, COVID, everything, socially distance yourself at home on the couch with the the aesthetics of Vegas, Miami. Anything else, guys?
No. Make sure you put your cookies out and milk.